Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gravita India Limited Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, Whole-time Director and CEO, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, Chief Financial Officer. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Emkay Global, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY 2024 post-earnings conference call of Gravita India Limited. We have the senior management of the company led by Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Vijay Kumar Parikh, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Prakash Sharma, Executive Director, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, Chief Financial Officer. So today's session would be a brief on the results by the management, and then we will follow with the question and answer round. So over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Sabri. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q1 FY 2024 earnings call. I believe you have had an opportunity to review the earnings presentation and financial results that were uploaded on the stock exchanges. Before opening the floor for questions, I will provide a brief overview on the major highlights of the quarter. I'm delighted to share that Gravita India has delivered strong performance in Q1 FY 2024. Before we delve into the results, we would like to share some strategic highlights and project updates. I am pleased to announce that pure lead of 99.98% purity and above, produced by our FAGI Jaipur plant, has been empaneled as an approved lead brand deliverable against the MCX Lead Futures contract. Pure lead manufactured by the Chittoor plant of the company is already at MCX empaneled product. This will provide Gravita with an additional platform for hedging, better inventory management, and price transparency in the domestic market. I would also like to highlight the fact that MCX maintains a global and stringent quality approach, which is at par with the international exchanges. This reaffirms the fact that the products manufactured at Gravita's plants adhere to global standards, thereby ensuring excellence in every aspect of production. Gravita has expanded its existing capacity of battery recycling units situated at Chittoor, Andhra Pradesh. The capacity has been increased by 26,440 metric tons per annum to 64,640 metric tons per annum. The CapEx undertaken stands at around rupees 21 crore. This is funded through internal accruals. Additionally, it's worth noting that this plant leverages the potential of domestic scrap, which is abundantly available from prominent telecom players, UPS OEMs, ITS, as well as waste scrap from the automobile sector in their respective markets. Gravita has also secured contracts to efficiently collect pan-India scrap, enabling the company to serve OEM customers in South India and facilitate exports via the nearby Chennai port, thereby optimizing logistical costs. With this expanded capacity, the company aims to fortify its position in the South Indian market, including the Southeast Asian market as well. Gravita Tanzania Limited, a step-down subsidiary of Gravita, situated in Tanzania, East Africa, has started commercial production and recycling of waste rubber. It has an annual capacity of around 3,000 metric tons per annum in phase one, which is expected to go up to 6,000 metric tons per annum in phase two. The CapEx incurred for phase one is rupees 3.86 crore, again funded through internal accruals. This newly established recycling facility will not only result in cost reduction but also contribute to decrease the carbon footprints. The process of rubber recycling produces pyrolysis oil, which will be utilized by the company for in-house consumption as an alternative energy source in recycling battery and aluminum scrap. This move aligns with the company's commitment to sustainable practices and environmentally friendly operations. Let's now discuss the operational performance. Coming to capacity expansion, as of 24th July 2023, Gravita has grown by 22% from March 2023 and expanded its total capacity to 2.78 lakh metric ton per annum. We are confident that we will reach 4.25 lakh metric ton per annum capacity by financial year 26. This will include both existing as well as new verticals. The company has witnessed a volume growth of 18% in Q1 FY24 on a year-on-year basis. Lead volume increased by 18%. Aluminum volume grew by 63% on a year-on-year basis to 29,287 tons and 5,396 tons respectively. We are maintaining a healthy order book of more than 60,000 metric ton per annum. A reminder of our capex plans, Gravita is committed to expanding its capacity and hence is expecting to incur a capex of more than 650 crore by financial year 26 for its existing as well as new verticals. Capex expected for existing and new verticals is approximately rupees 400 crores and rupees 250 crores respectively. Moving on to Q1 financial year 24 financial results. At consolidated level, revenue for the quarter increased by 21% to rupees 703 crores on a year-on-year basis and showed a drop of 6% on a Q-on-Q basis. 49% of the revenue in Q1 FY24 came from value-added products, aligning with our vision of achieving 50% revenues from this category. On a year-on-year basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by 24% to rupees 80 crores. EBITDA margins improved 11.4% and the company continued to maintain strong margins. Gravita reported a consolidated PAT of rupees 52 crores with a 22% growth year-on-year. PAT margins remained steady at 7.4%. Overall, the company performed significantly well on a year-on-year basis but faced a slight drop on Q-on-Q basis. This can be attributed to a drop in aluminum and plastic prices. Additionally, the disruption caused by the Biparjoy cyclone had a significant impact on the operation of our major lead plant in Mundra, leading to adverse effects on volume growth and margins. Furthermore, the recent launch of our two new aluminium plants has been in stabilization phase and is yet to operate at full capacity. At standalone level, revenue stood at rupees 654 crores, showing an increase of 6% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA for this quarter stood at rupees 60 crores, demonstrating a significant improvement from quarter one of last year. EBITDA margins stood strong at 9%. Similarly, PAT showed a significant increase of 136% on a year-on-year basis to rupees 38.72 crores. PAT margins stood strong at 6%. I would like to emphasize once again that we are steadfastly progressing towards our ambitious Vision 2027, which involves diversifying into new verticals, achieving robust financial growth, and expanding our business in non-lead segments. Moreover, we have full confidence that by year financial year 26, we will successfully reduce our net working capital cycle from 83 days as of March 2023 to 65 days, thereby significantly enhancing our operational efficiency. That's all from my end. I would now request to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you. And over to you, Sabri.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Bangadia from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, first question is, could you give us a rough sense or your approximation of how much volume would you have lost because of disruption in the operations in Mundra?
The volume we lost is approximately 10 to 12 days, which is approximately 1,500 tons for this because of this Biparjoy impact.
Okay. That is about 1500 tons. Okay. Yeah. Second question was, you had a one-off in the form of ESOP being kind of reversed or something like that. That has got into the other income? 11 crores?
Yeah. So basically, we made a provision earlier in the form of impact of this employee benefit scheme, which we brought. But later we realized that we don't need this provision because we have already dismantled. We are in the process of dismantling the trust and giving the benefits of this scheme slightly earlier to what it is planned. So, but now we have taken a provision of giving that benefit in the employee benefit. So if you see the benefit, employee benefit expenses is slightly higher on this side. So on the one side, it is a provision reversal, which is showing in the other income. But on the other side, the impact is that we have taken a provision of incentives, which we are going to give to the employee. So against that benefit, which they are losing. So it is a compensation. So we are considering this reversal as a part of the operational, because the other impact is coming in the employee benefit expenses. So for us, we have taken it in the adjusted EBITDA because it's operational part of the business.
So this 11 crore income that you have accounted for in the other income part of it, how much would you have put in the employee benefit expenses or in any other expenses in this quarter itself?
Yeah, so approximately 8 crore we have already considered in the employee benefit of expenses of this quarter.
Okay, so 11 against 8, net 3 is what you got and slightly got benefited to that extent, essentially.
Correct.
And that is why we have put it even this 11 crores in the operational part, because corresponding cost you have also recognized there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it for now. I'll come back for more later. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Gandhi from Growly Trail Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question is, sir, how do you collect trash in India? I mean, do we have any contracts with the companies handling municipal waste? And also, do we have any large centers in big cities for collection of household scraps? Do we have any kind of collection centers for collecting scraps?
In fact, in case of domestic collection, our collection plan executes in three ways. One is we are having a pan-India contract with Amara Raja Batteries, from which we are collecting the batteries from on pan-India basis. Secondly, we are also very closely working with some of the PROs. Those are collecting the battery e-waste, plastic, and many other commodities as a waste. And out of those waste, we are collecting the plastic and lead scrap from those companies likes of Sambhavkaro and other companies. Third thing is that we are also having our contracts with the IT companies likes of TCS, likes of Accenture, and other companies from which we are collecting the batteries on pan-India basis, whether those offices are located in SEZs or in domestic tariff areas. Thirdly, we are also collecting the batteries from institutions like Jindal Group, Aditya Birla Group, Adani Group. So from the different locations of the factory plants, factory locations, we are collecting these batteries.
Okay. And do you think these municipal waste management companies like Antony Waste Handling and all can we benefit from these companies also for our scrap collection?
No, because this municipal waste doesn't collect these batteries, because these batteries will be largely either will be auctioned or it will be sold through different locations. No one will hand over these batteries to the municipal waste.
Okay. And my second question is to get more clarity on this EPR topic. Sir, as per EPR policy, if the producer gets responsible for recycling, does it mean that, for example, you know, if whatever excited batteries or Amara Raja sells, they are responsible to collect and recycle all the batteries? And if yes, what happens to, let's say, if the expired batteries are collected by us? I mean, do we hand over that scrap to them, or how will it work?
Yes, you are correct that as per EPR policy, they have to either collect back or recycle themselves, or they can buy recycled lead, or they have to take EPR certificate. Like, even it is applied to the import of new batteries also. They have been given certain targets to collect the battery over a period of time. So that's how this will EPR will process, and there will be penalty if the EPR is not done, and they can even create recycling partner under EPR. As we mentioned earlier, we are already partnered to Amaraja.
Sir, in that case, whether will it impact our margins if we partner with them in future, you know, will it impact our margins?
So basically, this is going to work as a tolling arrangement, which is currently in place. So of course, if you talk about EBITDA margins, that will be lower, but there will be no working capital requirement in such a case. So therefore, the overall ROC will be better in this case, which we are already doing. So if you look at it, most of the domestic procurement that we are doing is through this arrangement only. So overall, even though the EBITDA margins would be a little lower, the overall profitability or the ROC would be much higher as compared to when we buy it from domestic market.
Okay. All right. That's it, sir. Fine. Thank you. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Kapra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Firstly, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand, how does the margin scenario work in plastic and aluminium segment, because they remain quite volatile. Like this quarter, it was around 4% for aluminium, whereas So how does that scenario work in aluminium and plastic? What kind of stable margins can we expect in this segment? And if I wanted to understand the mechanism of it.
So margin in case of operational margin in case of plastic and aluminium is like in case of plastic, it is 10 rupees per kg, 10 rupees per kg, but EBITDA margin per 10 rupees per kg. And in case of aluminium, it is because in case of aluminium, it is mostly business outside India where we source slightly cheaper. So margin is in the range of 17-18 rupees per kg EBITDA margin. So, but there is a slightly fluctuative margins because of in case of plastic and aluminium, we are not hedged fully. So we work on a model where we keep on buying the scrap and we keep on selling the finished goods against that. So we keep the stable inventory, sometime when the market prices are going down or going up, so that time the margins are according to the inventory gain or inventory losses, the margin is going up or down. So that's the reason, because we are not fully hedged in this model, and there is no mechanism also available of hedging this plastic and aluminium. But going forward, we are looking for a mechanism for aluminium specifically. We are entering into arrangement where MCX is going to be available platform for, because we are dealing into aluminium alloys. So on MCX, there will be a platform for dealing or hedging or giving the deliveries also for aluminium alloy in future. So we are working on that. So hopefully that arrangement is going to be developed by the MCX with the Ministry of Finance. So they are arranging that. So after this, there will be stable margins on the aluminium side. But still we are finding for solution for plastic also similarly, where we can hedge the margins for the future.
Okay, got it. So second question I had is that you have already spoken about the total capacity expansion that you plan to do it over the years, but I wanted to know that from today, and what is the expansion that is happening in apart from lead and other metals? I mean, I wanted to understand rubber, what's the expansion plan for FY23 to 26, how much is the incremental capacity for rubber, then plastic and aluminium, and if any other expansion also you plan into this segment?
So
in any other segment?
So basically, the total capacity which the expansion we are doing in case of lead is approximately from 300,000. So the capacity of by 2026, the capacity of lead, which is currently 225,000, we are taking it to around 300,000 tons. And in case of aluminium, it is currently 30,000 tons, which we are taking it to 48,000 tons. And in case of plastic, it is currently 22,000 tons, which we are taking to 65,000 tons. So these are the capacity expansions which we are planning for the existing verticals. And there is another vertical which we are talking about is rubber recycling. So because since we are not considering the capacity of rubber in our overall capacity expansion, because rubber is currently being consumed, the output of rubber is being consumed for the recycling of the lead and aluminium. So there will be capacity expansion in the rubber also, because we are in the replication mode. We started from Ghana. Now we are replicating the rubber recycling in Ghana, Senegal, Mozambique, Tanzania, all the African locations. So there will be expansion of rubber, but we are not considering that part of the capacity expansion.
Okay.
Got
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants to please limit your question to two per participant only. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Satendru Chakraborty from Chakraborty Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Now, my first question is really around the hedging mechanism. I think you briefly touched up certain aspects of it. If I sort of understand from your presentation, the back-to-back Fluscor inventory is fully hedged. But my question is really, in the future, for instance, when you have rubber, plastics, paper, there is no forward contract that you can do an LME or any other exchange, for example, the Chicago Board of Trade. So these will be really OTC contracts that you do on a one-on-one basis. So any thoughts around how do you want to play this this hedging mechanism game going forward?
Yeah, so I think it's very clear that on lead we are already hedged, which is around 80%, and we are already in discussions with MCX to start incorporating ADC-12, which is the major alloy that we make, to incorporate it in their delivery mechanism. So these two in future will be taken care of. But apart from that, I think in other verticals like plastics, etc., although there is no mechanism currently available where we can hedge it on exchanges, but definitely we have tie-ups with OEMs where we sell them forward contracts. So whatever deliveries I'm going to give to any OEMs in July, the prices would be M-1 basis. So whatever I'm collecting today, more and more of that material would go in the next month. So that is where you are probably doing natural hedging, which we call it. Is the mechanism for that is already in place. So going forward, wherever there is no possibility of hedging through exchanges, we would incorporate this mechanism more and more.
Okay, and just one sort of follow-up on, so it is fair to say that you mentioned aluminium, that you mm-hmm. will potentially start to hedge this more, so it is fair to say that the EBITDA per metric ton will not be continuously dropping as we have seen for the last
Absolutely.
Couple of quarters, right? So, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the second question I had was really on the turnkey projects piece. So I think this segment is performing brilliantly. I just wanted to hear from you what your outlook is on this, any margin revenue guidance you can give. And I also wanted to understand really very importantly, what is the market positioning that Gravita has? Is there like no other integrated player who can provide let's say integrated turnkey solutions, or do you have other let's say outside India players who can do that? Because I'm not sure that I understand the market structure fully well for this kind of service.
Yeah, so basically how we see our turnkey solution division is basically as a support to our overall expansion plan. So even though you may not see the overall revenues or gross margins coming from this, because sometimes around 80 to 90% of the total revenue that we do is internal only. In terms of where we are placed, actually, if you look at it, I mean, there are either European companies that are into this who are providing these solutions globally, and then in lead and aluminium generally, otherwise there are no companies available which can make or produce sustainable, environmental friendly equipments. So we are the only solution provider in the developing countries who can provide this solution which is viable even if you make a smaller plant. So generally, if you go for a bigger plant, where around you are recycling, for example, for in lead around 5,000 to 10,000 tons per month, then there are various options available from European companies. But if you are anywhere in the range of 1,000 to 2,000 tons per month, there are very few options available, and that is where Gravita is placed. But we don't see it only through that lens. As I mentioned earlier, that we, for us, it's a in-house research center where we keep on improving our efficiencies, our yield. In terms of making it more environmental friendly, so that is the major part we are in this.
Understood. So you don't suspect that you will provide this solution to any other competitor, and then that sort of cannibalizes your sales. I was trying to ask. So
if it is really captively
consumed,
we constantly do this. We supply material to anybody who wants to go into lead or aluminium recycling. So far, we have sold more than 60 turnkey solutions across globe, and we have a handsome margin of around 25 to 30% in the volume that we do externally.
Understood. Very helpful, gentlemen. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush from Electrum Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I had two questions. One was, why any reason for the tax rate being higher in this quarter at 14%? And second, the domestic scrap collection this quarter has been around 30% as the presentation, while in the previous quarters it has been in the range of 40 to 45%.
Yeah, so your first question related to tax, because this quarter it was Indian business were more profitable as compared to what it was earlier. So proportionately, the tax rate in India is slightly higher than the average tax rate in the overseas business. So because of this, the average tax of previous year is approximately 11%, against which this quarter we ended up at 14%. So because of the slightly proportionately higher profitability in higher PBT in India. So that's the reason for the tax.
And your second question was about domestic but scrap availability, right?
Yes.
So part of that is, part of the reason is that and why we did better in India as compared to the other parts of the globe is that Indian market was giving better premiums over overseas businesses. So we imported a lot of batteries because overseas scrap was cheaper as compared to Indian scrap during these times. So we imported more overseas scraps to increase the capacity to increase the profitability and reduce the Indian scrap. So there are opportunities of arbitrage available time to time for us, where there is a difference between Indian scrap. Sometimes Indian scrap is cheaper. In those months or those quarters, we buy more Indian scrap, whereas when the overseas market is slower, then we buy from overseas market also. And in sales, it's vice versa. because Indian markets were good, so therefore if you look at our performance of Indian entities, they have shown better results. We have sold more value-added products and we've done more revenue in India as compared to overseas. So we have shifted a lot of scrap even from our own entities into India so that we can take advantage of that arbitrage. So we've taken advantage of arbitrage both on the sales front as well as on the procurement front.
Okay. And just one last question. So we as a company remain on the guidance of 25% growth in volume terms for the next 3 years. Just want to confirm that.
Yeah. So in terms of production, definitely we will grow more than 20 to 25%. As I mentioned here also now that sometimes there is arbitrage where it makes sense for you to not sell it to third party and bring it to India. So during those time in consolidation, you will not see the sales growth, whereas the production volume growth would be there, but it would not reflect in the revenue numbers. But in terms of profitability, our target of 35% PAT growth would always be there. Bottom line growth of 35%, we are very confident of achieving.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for providing me the opportunity. As per one of our earlier calls, we are supposed to actually, we have the target of doubling our revenue over the next 3 years. So I hope it doesn't include the revenue from the existing verticals, right? From the new vertical. It only includes the revenue from the existing verticals and the revenue from the new verticals will be over and above the revenue of after doubling it, right?
No, our target, I think the target that we have mentioned earlier also is that we are planning to grow at more than 25% in terms of volume on a year-on-year basis for the next 3 to 4 years, and around 35% profitability growth CAGR in the next 3 to 4 years. So that remains our target even now. But as I mentioned earlier, that sometimes the revenue growth will not reflect the volume growth in the company. So the production will increase, but sometimes when you will consolidate, if there are arbitrage opportunities and we bring our material from our overseas plant into India, it may not reflect in the revenue numbers. But definitely it will reflect in the profitability numbers.
But sir, we just wanted to understand one thing. Like in this call also, you have told us that you will be doing 650 crores of capex and 400 will be for the existing verticals and 250 crores will be from the new verticals, right? So
yeah,
and, you have previously mentioned that the asset turn will be 8x. So basically, it translates to nearly 2,000 crores of revenue. Okay. From the new verticals, right? And in FY23, I guess we did something around 2,800 odd crores. Okay. So, we are getting 2,000 crores of revenue from the new verticals only.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think the profit should be more than 2x. The revenue should be more than 2x by FY26, right?
So these are the basic numbers.
Definitely. What I'm trying to understand is, like the revenue growth which we are talking about by FY26, it includes only the existing verticals, and the 2,000 crores of revenue will be over and above the revenue growth of existing verticals, right?
Sorry, can you come again?
Like 250 crores of capex we have already planned for the new verticals, right? And the asset turn is 8x. So we'll be roughly doing around 2,000 crores of revenue from the new vertical itself, right?
Yeah.
So we are planning for
some of it will come in the third year. Some of the capex would come in the third year. So revenue numbers from that capex may not reflect in that year itself. So it is the capex plan
is different, and the revenue which is coming from that capex may be one to one and a half year later. So there is a lag period of one for the new vertical specifically. there is a lag, more lag period, because we are not making the equipments for the new verticals. We are dependent on the third party for the equipment for the new verticals. In case of existing verticals, we are making our own equipment. So in that case, that lag period is very small. It turns to be 6 to 9 months we start the revenue generation from that capex. But in case of new verticals, it is slightly later. So that's the reason that revenue generation will, the effect of revenue generation will come slightly later in this case, in case of new verticals.
Yes, sir. I got that point. This year, I think you have already mentioned previously, but just trying to understand, like 20%, 25% revenue growth is from the existing verticals only, right?
Yeah, and only existing verticals. Yes, yes, yes.
And,
you're right.
And the additional revenue, the incremental revenue of 2,000 crores from the new verticals will be there.
Absolutely.
Correct, right?
Yes, absolutely. And yes, sir, yes, absolutely.
This capacity expansion from 2.5 lakh
to 4.25,
it includes new as well as existing, right?
Only the existing verticals.
Okay, so 4.25 includes only existing verticals.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
In the last quarter, we have seen a promoter transferring shares through bulk deal to some investors. So do we see any more such transactions in future? Second thing, in last con call, we also said that we'll be doing some QIP. Can you share the timelines of it?
So basically, to answer your first question, there will not be any more dilution of the stake by the owner, promoter.
Okay.
So that is the first part. The second part is, QIP will only happen when we see that, so we have our internal debt to equity target. Yeah, so basically earlier we planned QIP to fund the expansion which we are planning for, but later we realized that the internal generation of the cash, which is sufficient enough to fund the future capex and the working capital needs, because we are going forward, we are taking up the business which is slightly better in terms of working capital cycle. So we are bringing down the working capital cycle, so we don't see the requirement of the funds going forward. So we recently got some funding from the ESG fund, which is reducing our debt cost also. So we are funded from them, and so there is no point of diluting at this moment. No further QIP is planned in the near future, except we get an opportunity of a significant sizable the opportunity of M&A. So that will be the reason, only reason to come up for the QIP in future.
And just one more question, sir. You have said that you have transferred some inventory from abroad, Indian market, and we have processed here and sell it India. But we also have a plant at Africa and other markets. So why we haven't processed it there and sold it to India? Won't it be more cost effective?
No, so as I mentioned earlier, there are certain times when there is an arbitrage in prices available in India as compared to overseas markets. So okay. during those times, we import that material into India because India is giving better realization for those products, both in terms of value addition also, and sometimes as the commodity prices are also different in both these geographies. So only during those times we bring that material into India. Otherwise, we sell directly to third party. So having geographical diversification also gives us these benefits from time to time.
Yes, sir. I understood that. But my question is regarding, if we have a good lower cost material from Africa, can we process it there and sell the finished product in India when the arbitrage is there?
So generally we do that.
Cost effective.
Yeah, so generally we do that, but in some cases, some of the value-added equipment required are not viable when the scale is smaller. So for example, Tanzania, we are only doing 700 to 800 tons per month. In those countries, it is not viable to put up all the value-added equipments for all the value-added products. So in those cases, we bring it to India. So the basic process is done in those countries only, whereas the value, some part of the value addition is done in India.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Bahirwani from Vijit Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question is, if we see the interest cost, it has increased from 10 crores to 13 crores since last quarter. So I want to just know how much additional borrowings can we assume going forward, including both capex and working capital.
So on the debt side, we are very conscious on taking the debt in terms of we have made our own parameters to take the debt. So the debt parameter we have taken is 0.75 of debt equity, and so it should be less 0.75. It should be less than 0.75 in case of debt equity, net debt equity, and net debt EBITDA. We have kept our own benchmark of 1.5. So within this parameter, we are consciously taking the debt, but considering the cash flow coming in and the capex plan and the working capital requirement, so we are not seeing significantly higher debt in future. We are expecting to be in the range of like from a current number of around 370 crores to maximum of 550 crores in the next 2 to 3 years.
So this quarter was an anomaly in the sense that we imported a lot of raw material from overseas as compared to domestic material, because that was cheaper for us. And also we diverted some of our products from overseas plants into India. So that is why you see a higher inventory carrying cost, which will reduce in the coming quarters.
Okay. I had one more question. As per the investor presentation provided by the company, the company has signed MOU to establish battery recycling plant through joint venture in Oman. So by when can we expect this to be operational?
So by so it will be operational in 1 year, probably by first quarter of next year it will be operational.
Okay. And also there is one location, Dominican Republic, which is showing in your global and pan-India operations. So just wanted to know what our company's plan with respect to that.
So DR is a place where we are planning to put up a paper recycling plant in the future. And also we will start plastic recycling in that country.
So any numbers with respect to capacity?
Please request you.
So it will take more than one and a half years to 2 years to put up a paper recycling plant, but plastic can start a little early.
So the Dominican Republic is part of our new vertical business, which we are expanding in different products. So one of them is paper recycling, which we are planning to start in Dominican Republic. So we are still under evaluation, second stage of evaluation, feasibility at the Dominican Republic. Because it's our business model to start the trading first. We start the trading of the scrap initially, and then we establish the plant for the recycling. So we are in the process of trading of that scrap at that location. Once it is successful, then we start the capex and the setting up the plant in that location. So it will take another 1 to 1.5 year from now.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to please limit your question to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah from AC Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Thank you, sir. I have one question that there is some kind of deterioration as far as sequential performance of the company is concerned on, you know, all parameters, revenue, profitability, and, you know, this volume growth. YoY basis, we did extremely well. So any specific reason for that? That is my first question, sir.
So there is a slightly dip on the Q-on-Q basis, which you are talking about, right?
Yes, you know, sequential basis.
Yeah, so sequential basis, as we mentioned earlier, that part of the revenue was lost because of Dipper Joy. It affected the Mundra plant operations to the extent of, so the plant operations was affected by around 10 to 12 days. And apart from that, we just recently started our aluminium plants. So it would take some time to stabilize those plants. Probably that is one of the reasons why the numbers were not as good as we had expected. And of course, there is a drop in aluminium and plastic prices also. So these were the three issues, and all these three are temporary problems in our opinion. So probably by next quarter, some of these issues will be resolved. At the max, next to next quarter, all these issues will be resolved.
Okay. One more thing, sir, that we have seen also, you know, dip in a volume, especially sequential basis. So that is a, you know, any specific reason on all three verticals, lead, aluminum, and this?
So in aluminum and lead, basically, as I mentioned earlier, that what we have done is that we have imported a lot of our material from our own plants into India. So because of that, the revenue numbers does not show the total volume that we have done in production. So it gets eliminated when you consolidate the data. So that is why the otherwise in production, if you look at the production-wise data, we have done better than the last quarter, but it is not reflecting in the revenue numbers.
So it is one kind of intra-transfer that will not reflect in a number and revenue also, right? If I understood correctly.
Absolutely.
And last thing, sir, we have seen a, you know, sequential, you know, decline in a PAT that is, you know, a bit higher. So that is only due to a tax elements or any kind of, you know.
So, So basically, in the last quarter, Q4, there was a additional one-time income of 10 crore, which was there in this Q4 of FY23. So that is not there in this. So that was the reason you see the higher numbers in case of Q4 versus Q1 this year. So that's the only difference. Otherwise, as already mentioned, that there are two, three things which one is, of course, the Dipper Joy impact on our Mundra facility. So these are the two, three things which is contributed or two new plants in overseas we have just started and the expenses were there but we could not operate, so it is under stabilization period. So there is a reason we are lower on the expected numbers, but as compared to the last quarter. But the 10 crore income which was exceptionally there in Q4, that's the major difference in the PAT.
And last question, sir, you know, we will continue to have a, you know, margin that is, you know, something, you know, 8.5 to, you know, 7.5%. That will be a range somewhere we can expect PAT margin. And, you know, as you have mentioned, as far as tax is concerned, because Indian taxes are high, so what should we expect, you know, average tax rate going forward?
Yeah, so average tax rate should be 11 to 12%. That's the average we expect, considering there will be slightly more profits coming in from the overseas business, so which is slightly lower in this quarter. But going forward, it should be back to the normal. So we expect to be in the range of 11 to 12%. On the PAT margin side, we expect to be, the percentage could be lower or higher. But we slightly focus on per ton EBITDA and slightly 25% ROC minimum. So that's the more relevant benchmark for us because we work in different geographies. So working capital cycle is also different in different cases. Like we discussed that there is a business which is
lower margin business, and but there is no working capital in that business in case of India. So that contributes higher, so margin could be lower, but yes, we will be better on the return on capital. So that's benchmark we have kept is 25%.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiranjana Mittal from Ratnataya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just a follow-up on the earlier question which was asked. So on this scrap collection front, you mentioned that since we imported more scrap because obviously scrap is cheaper, we imported more and hence the domestic collection was less. Is that correct?
Sorry, can you just more input?
So I was saying that domestic collection was less in this quarter. You mentioned because overseas scrap was cheaper, so you imported more than what was collected domestically. So I wanted to understand what is the difference between like the landed cost versus the domestic scrap? Like just in approximate percentage wise, what would have been the difference?
It's 5 to 7% difference would be there. I mean, if you, yeah. But the thing is that it is a little difficult to compare both these, because then you have to see where we are selling it and to do who's to the customers that we are selling it, because Indian scrap mostly is a tolling business where the margins are fixed, whereas when we import scrap and we sell it in India, then the margins increase because then you. I mean, the EBITDA margins are much higher in those cases. So it's not an apple-to-apple comparison.
Okay. So if I'm understanding it right, because of value add, the margin difference would be there between what is sold, what is imported and then sold, and versus what is... So, but in terms of working capital, the working capital is lower in the tolling business. So when you make these decisions, you look at it in terms of margins, just solely margins, or the ROCE-wise, what's the impact?
So the basic criteria is to get the highest ROC. So if we are getting higher ROC by importing that scrap, even though the working capital cycle is higher, but the profitability is higher in that case, then we'll go for imported scrap. But if the ROC is higher in the local in the tolling business, then we go for the tolling business. So that is one criteria that we have kept. But it's not that we will convert 100% of tolling business into. So we can only play 10 to 15% only here and there. More than that is not possible.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Bagaria from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again. You know, there was a previous question on the interest expense going up. It's the highest in about 4 quarters now. If you could just give us a sense of what is your debt number right now and what should we look forward to on in that particular item?
So current debt number is approximately 375 crores. And earlier net debt I'm talking about, and the number, if you compare it with the March numbers, it is 314. So it is increased by approximately 760 odd crores in this quarter. And so reasons we have discussed that there is a slightly, so there are, because we have recently started the new capacities in Mundra and Chittoor, so we imported certain scraps in anticipation of this in capacity. So recently we have started this capacity and the plants are under ramping up, so gradually it will reduce to the normal level.
Okay. And so the other thing that you mentioned was this 10 crore exceptional income in Q4. Just wanted to understand how would that get reported in the segmental numbers. Last time there was a turnkey project's top line of about 11 crores in March quarter. This quarter you also have again a 15 crore, 14.6 crore number. So where does that exceptional 10 crore sit in this, which was there in last quarter and where did it sit in last quarter?
10 crore income was related to the tax. It was basically recognition of the MAT. So it reflected in the tax itself.
Achha, last quarter you were saying it reflected in the... Okay.
Q4 it was. Q4
Q4
10 crore
MAT.
Of MAT recognition. So that was reflected in the, not in the EBITDA, it's only in the...
So it was only on the tax side, you're saying?
Basically. On the tax side, yeah. So the tax number was lower by 10 crore.
Okay. I'll come back to you for more questions, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikash from Acadree Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One thing is our one of the customer is there, the Amra Raja, and they also one of the only owned subsidiary is the Amra Raja Circular Solution is there, which is also is a recycling business sector. Whether any kind of the impact has come in the our recycling lead recycling?
In fact, a customer we are directly dealing with Amra Raja Batteries, to which we are having the direct contract for supply of our products, as well as we are collecting the battery scrap from different owners of Amra Raja and recycling it and supplying back to them. There will be the possibility, and Amra Raja is also working on that, that they will be putting up some recycling facilities down the line after 3 years. So that is the recycling facility they are putting up. So that may be related to that.
No, but the thing is that the overall opportunity in this case is pretty huge, in the sense that currently around 30-35% of the total scrap available comes to the organized sector, whereas the balance 65-70% goes to the unorganized sector. And with this new battery waste management rules coming into picture, we expect that majority of the scrap will now start coming back to the organized sector. So there is a huge opportunity, and there is a huge compliance pressure also on all these battery manufacturing companies. So so just to fulfill that compliance commitment, they may plan to set up battery recycling plants. Exide has already done that, but Amara Raja had earlier planned to put up that plant much earlier, but now they have postponed it a little bit. Basically that will be only from the compliance point of view. If they can find partners who can do it for them, probably they will not come into recycling. And even if they do come into recycling, there is still enough opportunity available for all the battery recycling companies in India to grow at a very healthy rate, keeping in mind the opportunity available. Hello?
Mr. Hassan, does that answer your question? As there's no response from the current participant, we move on to the next question from the line of Vikash Mistry from Moonshoot Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving the opportunity. Sir, actually our sourcing is the main moat, and how we are trying to build our moat in that regard. And from the perspective that what is the concentration of institutional clients, specifically Amra Raja, in case if they're trying to set up their own manufacturing? That's my first question.
Amara Raja sells, and for that matter, all the other battery manufacturers sell their batteries across India on a pan-India basis. So the battery gets collected across pan-India basis. So even if Amara Raja puts up a plant, they will put up a plant in one location where they are kind of manufacturing their batteries. So, but what about the other regions from where they have to collect those batteries from? That is where they need partners. So Gravita fortunately has pan-India presence. We have plants, one in north, one in south, one in west, one in central region of India. So it gives us, in terms of overall efficiencies and logistic costs, it gives us, advantage over others. So even if they bring that plant first of all will not cater to the entire capacities available for recycling in India. Then collecting that battery from north and bringing it back to south where their battery manufacturing plant is there would not be logistically economical for them. So they would need partners like us.
That's great, sir. But my question is that what is the concentration of those five institutional players who are giving sourcing to Gravita?
So in terms of their plants, Exide has a major plant in Calcutta. Amara Raja is in South.
Let me put it this way, that what are the top five institutional clients percentage here in your scrap collection from them?
Okay. So, yeah, in fact, other than Amara Raja, we are collecting the scrap from various locations of SEZ, then IT companies like so of TCS, Wipro, Accenture, those kind of clients, and thirdly from the industrial sources. So by and large, our scrap collection is more or less equal in volumes from all these institutional players.
Sir, what top five players, what is the percentage it is?
Like if you consider top five, one is the TCS, second is Accenture.
Sir, can you place the percentage to that?
No, this is random because the battery cycle is close to three years. So sometimes TCS volumes will be higher, sometimes Accenture volumes will be higher, sometimes Wipro volumes will be higher, and sometimes SEZ business will be higher. So it normally varies on year-to-year basis.
Any rough estimate, sir?
Rough estimate, by and large, all are equal. Because these are companies are having different locations, more or less similar kind of industries and similar kind of volumes, data centers are having similar kind. But if you be very specific, we are getting more batteries from Tata Group of the companies because we are having a global contract with the Tata Group of the companies and it's the exclusive contract. So if we say that close to 20 to 25% batteries we are getting from these sources, from Tata Group. Rest will be distributed among four or five.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashit Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
तो थोड़ा थोड़ा घर पे लगेगा भगवान का ही प्रसाद है।
कोटी योर लाइन इज अनम्यूटेड प्लीज गो अहेड विद योर क्वेश्चन
या माय क्वेश्चन इज सर विद रिगार्ड्स टू रिसाइक्लिंग इफ यू आर टॉकिंग अबाउट सोर्सिंग ऑफ मटेरियल फ्रॉम इंडस्ट्रियल यूजर्स आल्सो एंड अज्यूमिंग दैट बैटरीज व्हिच यू आर प्रोक्यूरिंग फ्रॉम सेकेंडरी मार्केट दैट इज फोर व्हीलर्स टू व्हीलर्स और passenger vehicles or commercial vehicles. Region-wise, if you have to consider, major concentration is from which area, where do you procure more, and from there, at that place itself, you have a plant or else you have to transport it back to your plant in Jaipur?
See, around 80 to 90% of the total batteries, 85% of the batteries are sold in these three regions, south, west, and north. And only 10 to 15% get sold in the eastern region. And in all these three regions, whether it is south, we have a plant in south, at Chittur, we have a plant in Mundra, which is in west. Then we have a plant in Jaipur, which kind of covers the central region. And we have a plant in Kathua, in Jammu and Kashmir, which covers the north region. So region-wise, we have plant in all of the regions where 85% of the battery gets sold.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohammed Hassan from Fairdeal. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, since I'm new to the sector, I just want to know about the new government rules about the recycling waste thing. E-waste management thing.
New rule on the battery waste management?
E-waste management.
Basically, all waste management rule, whether it's e-waste, battery waste, tire waste, the principle is same, EPR principle, polluter pays basis. So there is one policy wherein there is a responsibility on various stakeholders, including producers, dealers, institutions, and in different rules, you can visit details on MOEFCC website where the rules are already there. But in principle, every e-waste generated has to be taken. A laptop producing company has to take back the laptop which they produce in year X, and with considering the life, they have to take back certain percentage of the electronics item, whatever they are selling it. Or they have to give it to a recycler who will recover various metals out of that by different processes. And if they are not able to recover, if they are an importer, they have to get certificate of EPR from these recyclers. So all EPR rules are based on the same principle. There are the fine lines which can be seen on the website of these
Ministry of Environment and Forest.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, members of the management, for any closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. We are pleased to announce that we have begun the year on a positive note, and we firmly believe that we are making steady progress towards realizing our vision of becoming the most valuable company in the global recycling industry. We trust that we have addressed all your inquiries during this session. However, if there are any remaining questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we extend our gratitude to all the participants for joining us and for your attentiveness to our updates. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.